Hello, friends. This is Mel, your host on the Whistler Radio Channel. We've got a doubleheader lined up for you, two classic Whistler episodes, just as they were first heard decades ago. Let's start with the first one, The Brass Ring, originally aired September 16, 1946.
The Signal Oil Program, The Whistler. That whistle is your signal for the Signal Oil Program, The Whistler.
I am the Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
Yes, friends, it's time for The Whistler, rated by independent research the most popular West Coast program. And remember, let every traffic signal remind you, with new Signal gasoline, you do go farther than ever. Look for the familiar big yellow and black circle sign that identifies those popular Signal service stations throughout the West from Canada to Mexico. And now, the Whistler's strange story, The Brass Ring.
Babe stood out on the platform in front of the sideshow tent while Duke made his pitch, smiling her best professional smile at the sea of faces below her, reserving a personal, intimate wink for the tall, gray-haired man with a carnation in his buttonhole. Babe was an intelligent girl, and the man with the carnation had money. She could smell it a mile off, and it didn't hurt to be nice to the customers, especially the ones with money, like dapper middle-aged Mr. Bundy, staring up at her from the crowd with stars in his eyes.
Look, right over here. Step right up close. It's the most sensational, most stupendous, most gigantic show in the carnival. Wait till you hear. Oh, wait till you see. You can't miss it. You just won't miss it. Why, it's so hot you'll just melt away. I said melt away. Hey, babe.
Yeah, Duke?
He's here again.
Yeah, I see him.
Mr. Finn, $5 for a ticket and keep the change.
Great guy, Duke, great guy. You know something?
What?
Mr. Finn's name is Bundy, and I'm gonna marry him.
What are you
Take it easy. Come on with the pitch.
You're crazy, babe.
Then get on with the pitch.
Babe, you don't know what you're talking about.
Did you hear
about
what I said? You'll lose the crowd. They're drifting
off. Okay. This way, folks. What a dance she does. What a dance. You have never, never, never seen anything so colossal, so stupendous, right from the top of that gorgeous blonde head to the tips of her toes. Oh, she's hot. She's on fire. She's burning down. That's enough, boys. That's more than enough for some of them. Now step right up. Step right over here and have your money ready. Two bits. Only two bits. The fourth part of a dollar. Come on, folks. Give them room. Give them room.
Here you are.
Oh, $5 again.
Yes. You can...
Keep the change. Thanks, Mr. Bundy.
Oh, Miss Logan has told you.
Yeah, she told me. Sucker.
Who is it?
Mr. Bundy.
Oh, just a minute. There we are. Nice and respectable. Oh, hello, Mr. Bundy.
Good evening, Georgette.
No, not at all, Mr. Bundy. Come on in.
I don't want to intrude.
Forget it. I got lots of time.
Hey!
What's the matter with you?
We're ready to go. You better get on a move on.
Stall them off. I'm busy.
They're going in right now.
Did you hear me, Duke? I said stall them off.
Okay, babe. Anything you say.
You know how the customers are, Mr. Bundy. Get a little over-anxious once in a while.
I shouldn't wonder. Your dance is very good.
Oh, you like it, huh?
I haven't missed a night in 3 weeks.
Well, maybe I ain't good enough for the Ritz Plaza, but I give them their money's worth.
You certainly do.
Oh, well, I don't quite know how to take that, Mr. Bundy.
See here, Georgette. Must you always call me Mr. Bundy?
Well, after all...
Charles. Make it Charles, will you?
All right. Charles.
Why do you think I've come here night after night for 3 weeks?
Oh, I guess maybe you'd like me a little.
They all like you, Georgette. All of those people out there.
Well, Charles, I can't help it if...
I know, I know. Trouble is, I don't want it that way.
What do you mean, Charles?
Quite simple. I don't want to share you with anyone else.
Oh?
In plain words, Georgette, I want you to marry me.
Why, gee, Mr. Bundy, I mean, Charles, I...
Why, I don't blame you for being surprised. You see, I was rather surprised myself.
Oh, gee, I've got to think it over. You know, a girl can't go into this, I mean, tie up her whole life like that without looking at all sides to it.
Of course, Georgette.
You know, I got a career here, my whole future.
You don't need to worry about your future. I'll take care of that.
But how?
I have more money than I could possibly spend, Georgette.
Well, gee, you can't blame me if I'm a little cagey, Charles. There are so many fellas and...
Oh, I'll make it legal if you want. I'll get a lawyer and have an agreement drawn.
Oh, will you, Charles? Will you?
Babe, I told you that wait.
Just a minute, Duke.
Just a minute, nothing. You're going to tear the house down if I stall them any longer.
No, I'm sorry, Charles. I got to do my show.
What about it, Georgette?
Yes, Charles. Yes.
Marriage? With that old goat? Never heard anything so crazy in my life.
Like I told you, Duke, it's none of your business.
It's a sellout, that's what it is. Money's important, sure. I stand out there in the Midway 7 nights a week, busting my lungs out. I hustled props, sold peanuts when I didn't have it. But I wouldn't...
What wouldn't you do, Duke?
I wouldn't sell out, babe.
You got money on your mind right now, haven't you?
What do you mean?
You're through without me. That's all washed up. That's what's on your mind, ain't it? Not the sellout. It's what am I going to sell when the babe's gone?
Shut up.
I'll say what I want.
The brass ring, ain't it? You've been on the merry-go-round for 6 or 8 years, and you finally grab hold of the brass ring, a sucker. At last, you got yourself a sucker.
Why, you're mad, ain't you, dear? I've never seen you look like that. Why, sure. That's it, ain't it? You're in love with me, and you're jealous.
Past tense, baby. Not now. Not anymore.
Too bad, Duke. My heart belongs to Bundy.
If you're ever in a shipwreck, give me a buzz, will you, babe? I'll toss you an anchor.
With the prologue of The Brass Ring, the Signal Oil Company brings you another strange tale by The Whistler. If you've lived out west any length of time, you know that Signal gasoline is famous as the go-farther gasoline. And if you've noticed Signal's recent magazine, newspaper, and billboard advertising, you know that you now go farther than ever with today's Signal gasoline. Well, what does this all mean to you? Economy, yes. But even more than that, it means extra performance from your car. For in gasoline, it takes extra quality to go farther. Now, let me make that point clear. When science employed the modern magic of catalytic cracking to put amazing new power into today's Signal gasoline, they naturally gave you quicker starting, faster pickup, and quieter, higher anti-knock. And it's because of this, because Signal's increased power helps your motor perform more efficiently, that you now go farther than ever with Signal gasoline. That's why Signal says, look to your speedometer for the best proof of gasoline quality. It takes extra quality to go farther. Good reason why so many wise drivers are switching to Signal, the famous go farther gasoline. Now, back to The Whistler.
You grabbed the brass ring, didn't you, babe? And Mr. Bundy came through nobly with the legal arrangements. Something about the marriage of 6 months in Connecticut as Mrs. Bundy to demonstrate good faith. Of your freedom to do what you please after that. with a solid feeling that the money set up for you in trust by Mr. Bundy will be all yours in the event of his death. That's all, babe. 6 tedious months with Mr. Bundy. Of course, it seemed like 6 years, but it had to come to an end sometime.
I can't give you dun-dun-dun-dun.
Georgia?
Don't bother me. I'm busy packing.
What do you mean, packing? We're going to the Williamsons, darling. Just for the day. There's no packing to be done.
You're going to the Williamsons, Charles, not me. Now go away, run. I'm busy.
Where are you going?
You didn't really think it would work, did you, Charles?
What wouldn't work?
I came through with my end of the bargain. 6 months. I don't want any more. Why, kid yourself. I'm not Mrs. Charles Bundy. It just ain't there. I'm Babe Logan, remember?
You haven't given it a try.
Oh, what do you think I've been doing for 6 months? Twiddling my thumbs?
Oh, now, you've got to be reasonable, Georgette. It takes time.
The trouble, time. It's precious. You got to be careful with it. If you're not, you wake up some morning and find yourself pushing 40 and out of a job. That's why I'm going back.
Where are you going? Tell me.
Back to the drafty tents, the smell of damp sawdust, catcalls, wolf whistles.
You're not serious.
Just try and stop me, Charles. Try.
I won't let you. They'll laugh at me. They'll all laugh at me.
With your dough, let them. Listen, Charles, I don't want to hurt you, honest. I want to let you down easy. I'm not Connecticut, and I never will be. I'm a carnival girl. I belong there in a sideshow with a guy like Duke to make the pitch for me, see? I'll beat it. Well, yeah, I got to pack.
It'll work, Georgette. Really, it will. You've got to give me another chance.
I said I'm going.
All right, then. I'm going with you.
Huh?
You'll get tired of it after a few days. You're different.
Look,
now.
Charles.
I'm not going to let you walk out of my life, Georgette. I'll do just what I did before.
What do you mean?
I want you near me, that's all. You'll change your mind. And I won't get in your way. I'll just stand around and be there. Just like before.
Duke, the guy just won't listen to me. I tell him over and over again.
And he's still out there, night after night, looking up at you with that earnest face of his. Ah, the poor sucker.
I don't know that I like that crack.
Don't hand me that, baby. You took him for a ride. Now that you got that paper in your safe deposit box, you're...
What, Duke?
You don't care what happens to him.
Well, you don't have to make it worse. You don't have to keep letting him into the show.
Why not? Pays his dough. $5. And keep the change.
Ah, it gives me the creeps. Every show, there he is in the first row, waiting for me at the door when I go home.
I guess you'll have to figure that one out for yourself.
Maybe I will.
Yes, there were strings on that brass ring, weren't there, babe? It's not quite as easy to drop Mr. Bundy as it was to pick him up. And all you have to do is look into those earnest, pleading eyes of his to realize it'll go on as long as he lives. Night after night, day after day, as long as he lives. You wish there were some other way, don't you, babe? It'll be a shame to have to kill him. It comes to a climax on Monday night as you leave by the stage entrance after your 9 o'clock show. He's there waiting for you as usual. And it's right then that you decide it can't go on any longer. Monday night, a quiet night at the carnival. As good a night as any.
Hello, Georgette.
Charles.
How long till your next show?
Oh, about 30 minutes. Would you like to take a walk around the grounds?
Why, of course. Oh, I'd be delighted.
Roller coasters.
I used to love them. Haven't been on one for years.
You know, this might be hard for you to believe, but I haven't either.
That is odd.
Sky ride, the tunnel of love. Used to scare me to death.
Let's try it, Dave. What do you say?
Uh-uh. You got to watch your blood pressure.
Oh, so that's what you're thinking. I'm too old for you.
Oh, don't be silly. Come on, let's win a Cupid doll or something.
No, I insist. The sky ride.
Too high for me. I'd just as soon stay on the ground.
Now who's afraid? Too old, am I?
Well, we'll see about that. Are you game?
All right, Charles. I'm game.
Here we are.
No, no, let's take the last seat, huh? I feel better if I can see people ahead of me.
Still nervous, huh? Come on. Here's the last seat.
Oh, better take your hat off, Charles. Yeah.
Keep your safety belts buckled, please.
Yes, now.
Hold your hats. Safety belts buckled, please.
Here we go.
Well, we're off.
I don't know whether I'm going to like this or not. Look at that
hill ahead. George, I feel like a kid again.
Is your safety belt hitched?
Sure. Look down there.
No, thanks. I got scared.
Go ahead.
No, I don't want
to. Hold on. Here we go.
Your stomach stays back at the ticket office. I used to go around with a guy who was awfully foolhardy. You know what he used to do?
Can't imagine. What?
Well, he used to unhitch the belt and stand up right at the top of the hill, just before you go down.
Oh, what's so unusual about that?
Well, awful dangerous, don't you think? Oh. See what I mean?
I don't think it's so dangerous. What?
Oh, don't be a fool, Charles. He was young. Well, he could do anything.
I still think I'm an old fogey, huh? Well, watch this. I have closed the belt.
Charles, we're almost at the top. Get down.
Get stuff. How's this?
Charles! Charles, my hat!
Where?
Over the side. Grab it.
Look out. No, don't push me. Don't push me.
Oh, he fell off. He fell off.
All right, Mrs. Bundy, all right. So it was an accident. It was just a mighty peculiar accident, that's all.
Listen, you dumb flatfoot, I gave you the straight stuff. And if you think you can sit back and make a lot of nasty...
Sit down, babe.
That goes for you, too,
I
Drew.
Said sit down.
Okay, I'll sit down. But I'm not going to take any
just
more...
Just a minute, babe. Sorry, Sergeant, the dame's a little high-strung. Quite a jolt, you know, losing her only husband that way.
Yeah. I guess it was.
You can skip all that stuff about peculiar accidents.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Bundy. That's the way it's going on the record. Peculiar that the money goes to you on your husband's death. Peculiar that he decided to take you on the roller coaster the first time he'd been on one in 20 years. Peculiar you picked the last seat. Peculiar his safety belt happened to be unbuckled.
All right. So what?
So we leave it there. No proof. Nothing else we can do. By the way, the passenger three seats ahead of you happened to turn around just as you hit the top of the hill.
What do you mean?
He saw your husband a second after he fell.
Oh.
Too bad he didn't turn around a second sooner. That's all, Mrs. Bundy. You can go.
So it's over now. All over. Mr. Bundy is gone for good, and the brass ring is yours to keep. You ought to be able to relax now, get back in the swing. Work 10 shows a day to pass the time until the probate is complete and the money arrives. Yes, it's smarter to keep right on working as if nothing had happened. No use exciting any more suspicion, is there, babe? You can't decide whether or not it's imagination, but it seems as if they all suspect you. Your friends along the Midway are noticeably cooler, more distant since the accident. But it doesn't matter now. The brass ring is yours. You can tell them all where to get off. Then you suddenly realize it isn't over after all. 2 weeks later, just before the 9 o'clock show, Duke comes into your dressing room.
Yeah?
Duke.
Well, I ought to be flattered, I guess. What's the matter? We pals again?
Take it off, babe.
Take what off?
The chip on your shoulder. I ain't looking for a fight.
Ah, you're smart. Ain't easy for a broken-down vaudeville ham to find a job these days. And in a couple of weeks, you might be working for me.
Wonderful.
What's so funny?
Don't look now, baby, but your conscience is showing.
Why, you...
Listen, sweetheart, don't blow up on me. I'm the only friend you got left.
Ah, you're just like all the rest of them, you and your
smart... Forget it, will you? Maybe it was an accident, maybe it wasn't. I'm still working the show, ain't I?
What do you want? What you come here for?
I got something that might interest you, kid. There was a guy out there the last show. Looks like he's going to take up where Mr. Bundy left off.
What do you mean?
Can't figure it out.
pays $5 for a ticket and tells me to keep the change. Sat in the same seat Bundy had.
What is it? What's he want?
I don't know. Thought maybe you might. Oh, by the way, the guy's out there now waiting for the next show. That's all, babe. Just thought I'd drop by and give you something to think about.
You see him there when you go on for the next show, sitting in the same front row seat Mr. Bundy used to occupy. And you wish Duke hadn't said anything about it. You might not have noticed him for a while, anyway. He's much younger and almost good-looking. But he never smiles, just sits there as you go through your dance, never applauding or whistling like the others, just sitting there, watching, watching. He's there the next day and the next, the same cold stare, the same expression. You try and ignore it, but it just won't work, will it, babe? You have a pretty good idea why he's there, and you know there'll be a showdown sooner or later. Might as well be now.
Down there.
Me?
Yeah, you. Come here a minute.
Okay.
This way. Now, who are you, mister?
My name's Woody.
You're a cop, ain't you?
What makes you think I'm a cop?
You've been in that same seat 6 days in a row now. 5 shows a day. That makes 30 times you've seen the show, right?
I like the act.
Nobody likes it that much, mister.
I'm satisfied.
I'm not. Get it?
No.
It's easy. I don't want to look down at that seat and see the great stone face anymore.
I know a good way to get rid of me.
Yeah?
Go for a ride on the roller coaster?
What? That's a pretty stupid approach, even for a flatfoot. Didn't you see the report, officer? Did you look it up in the files? Accident, it says. Big black letters, accident. Now get out of here, you...
Wait a minute, babe.
Hey, keep it down, will you, everybody outside? Oh, it's you.
Get him out of here, Duke.
What's the matter, pal?
Lady wants to get rid of me. Told her I'd be happy to leave forever if she'd do me a little favor.
Yeah? What's that?
Take a ride with me on the roller coaster.
Oh? That what made you blow up, babe?
Get rid of him. I don't want to see him anymore, understand?
Why don't you want to take a ride in the roller coaster, babe?
You think so, too, don't you? You think I killed him.
What are you blowing up for if you didn't? What's there about the roller coaster get you down?
So... All right, Mr. Detective. I'll show you. Come by after the last show tonight, and we'll take your ride.
Next car loading, how many, please?
I'll take them all. My girl and I want to be alone this trip.
I get it. It'll be $4.
Is that a big enough drop for you?
Oh, so-so. That's a big one up ahead.
Yeah.
That means along about here is where you unhitched his safety belt.
Skip it, will you? That won't get you anywhere.
Right about here, wasn't it, babe? Right here?
He did it himself. I tell you, he was showing off.
You killed him.
I didn't kill him. He stood up and he tripped.
He didn't trip. You pushed him.
Oh, you stupid dope. You thought this would make me talk. I thought there was more brains in the police force than... Oh, wait a minute. You can't slap me.
The police have nothing to do with this, babe. Charles Bundy was my father.
He never said anything about...
It doesn't matter if you talk or not, babe. I'm not depending on the law anymore. You see, I'm going to kill you.
Take your hands off me.
Safety belt. There.
No. No, you can't.
Sometimes
you can't.
The law doesn't work, babe. Sometimes a man has to take things in his own hands.
I said let go of
you
me.
You cheap, chiseling tramp. You wanted his money, didn't you? You had that in the back of your mind right from the first.
Listen to me, Woody, please.
You're going over, babe. Just the way he did.
Oh, no.
You're through, babe. No. You're...
The Whistler will return in just a moment with the strange ending of tonight's story. You know, the proof of the pudding, they say, is in the eating. And the proof of the service you get at dealer-owned Signal gasoline stations is, after all, in what actual customers say about it. That's why we're so happy to receive letters such as this one from Mrs. Leon F. Marsh of Berkeley, California, who wrote,
"During a recent trip which took me from Berkeley as far south as Calexico on the Mexican border, I met with courtesy from every signal dealer with whom I traded. Especially, I want to commend Harvey Nathanson of 4400 Beverly Boulevard, Hollywood, whose service was both prompt and complete in every detail. I never had to request that my windshield be wiped or my tires checked. These and many other services were done automatically and with a smile. It's men like Harvey Nathanson who make trading with independent signal dealers a pleasure."
Mrs. Marsh, on behalf of my sponsor, Signal Oil Company, I want to take this opportunity to thank you and the many other kind drivers who have dropped me a line, telling of their experiences with Signal products or of little extra services you have enjoyed at dealer-owned Signal stations. It's letters like yours that make independent Signal dealers want to do an even better job of helping today's cars run better and last longer. Now, back to The Whistler.
So the career of Babe Logan, carnival dancer, came to an end. It was a sensational ending, of course. Barkers, pitchmen, performers, all of her colleagues gathered around the broken body lying among the timber supports, all talking at once, not in guarded whispers anymore, but openly, of the suspicion, the terrible doubt that hung over the Midway like a cloud after the first accident a few weeks before. And after the second accident, Duke had to change his pitch a little. Not much, just a little.
Until you've seen her do that dance. What a dance, folks, what a dance. Just like the one with the seven veils. Only this little lady throws away six of them before she starts. Yes, she starts right in with number seven. You gotta see Millie, folks. Millie, the girl with a million thrills. Step right up, folks. Right.
Yes, now that Babe was gone, there was a new attraction in Duke's tent. An ambitious young redhead named Millie. And at that very moment, a few blocks away at police headquarters, Sergeant Case had changed his approach, too.
There's no use going over it all again. We've been through it before.
But it was an accident. He tried to push me. He slipped. I was the one who was supposed to go out of that roller coaster.
Sure. You were supposed to go out, but you didn't. He fell. Just like his father did 2 months ago. Both of them accidents, huh?
Can I help that? It was an accident.
Maybe. Maybe they were, Babe, but you don't really think a jury is going to believe that, do you?
No, I guess you're right. They'd never believe me now.
Monday at 9 o'clock, The Whistler will bring you another strange tale. The Whistler is broadcast for your entertainment by the marketers of Signal, gasoline, and motor oil, and fine quality automotive accessories, and by your neighborhood Signal dealer. Featured in tonight's program were Doris Singleton and Eddie Marr. This program, directed by George W. Allen, based on a story by David Gillespie, music by Wilbur Hatch, is transmitted to our troops overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. Whistle is your signal for the Signal Oil program, The Whistler. This is Dick Wells speaking, reminding you to look for those familiar yellow and black circle signs that identify those popular Signal Oil stations throughout the West from Canada to Mexico. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You've been listening to The Brass Ring from September 16th, 1946. Stay with us, as up next, we'll hear Stranger in the House, originally aired on September 2nd, 1946.
The Signal Oil Program, The Whistler. Is your signal for the Signal Oil Program, The Whistler.
I am The Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
Yes, friends, it's time for The Whistler, rated by independent research the most popular West Coast radio program. And remember, let every traffic signal remind you, with new Signal gasoline, you do go farther than ever. Look for the familiar big yellow and black circle sign that identifies those popular Signal service stations throughout the West from Canada to Mexico. And now the Whistler's strange story, Stranger in the House.
Helen decided she might as well be honest with herself. The suspense was getting her down. It had been 6 years since her brother Ted had left for the Orient on that government mission just before Pearl Harbor. And he was still out there, somewhere between Manila and Shanghai, alive or dead. Yes, it had come to the point now where Helen was wishing for any kind of a message, even one telling her Ted was dead. At least it would end the waiting. At least it would be better than not knowing at all.
George, please. I don't want to talk about it anymore. He's been on my mind for so long now, I wish I could forget about him for a while.
Oh, I'm rather surprised to hear you say that, Helen.
Oh, I know it sounds terrible, but... George, it's been 6 years now. 6 years of waiting, not knowing.
I know,
Helen. I can't stand it much longer, George. He's my only brother, don't you understand? 6 years of silence. If they'd only tell us something...
But you must realize there are thousands of women like you, dear. Just one of those terrible things about a war, that's all.
Well, let's just wait, then. Let's not talk about him anymore.
But I'm your lawyer, Helen. There's some things we've got to talk about.
All right. Go on, George.
Now, it's been 6 years. If we haven't heard from him by next year at this time, he'll be declared legally dead.
What does that mean?
Well, there's a reversion clause in your father's will, Helen. It means if Ted dies before you do, his share of the estate reverts to you.
Why must you always throw that will in my face, George? Why must it always come around to money? Every time we talk about Ted, it's the same thing. I don't care about the money.
But we...
All I care about is having him back, alive and well. Now, please go, George. If it doesn't have to be settled till next year, let's not talk about it till then.
All right, Helen.
George.
Yes, Helen?
I'm sorry I blew up. I guess I'm just not myself.
Sure, Helen. I understand.
Yes, Helen, the suspense is beginning to tell on you, isn't it? 6 years of it. And just a few letters from Ted, your brother, early in 1941, telling you of his arrival in Manila. Then silence. No way you could get in touch with him. Nothing you could do but wait. And you're still waiting. Still rushing out to meet the postman, hoping each day will be the big one. George is more tactful now about the will. He doesn't mention it anymore, and you're very grateful. And then, at long last, the suspense is ended. It's not the postman. It's Rhoda, your maid, coming into your bedroom one morning with a cablegram.
When did it come, Rhoda?
Just this minute, miss. A messenger brought it to the door.
Arriving September 1st, Seattle, steamer President Jefferson. Love, Ted.
At last! Oh, Miss Helen, your brother, at last!
Yes.
Yes, Rhoda. At last.
Pardon me.
That's all right.
I beg your pardon. Pardon me. Oh, Stuart.
Yes, miss?
I'm looking for Mr. Ted Van Norton. Where is his cabin, please?
Just a minute, please. Van Norton, stateroom 3C, third deck.
Thank you.
Come in.
Ted, darling.
Oh, hello.
Oh, I'm sorry. I must have the wrong stateroom. I'm looking for my brother, Ted Van Norton.
What's the matter, Helen? Don't you recognize me?
Who are you?
Well, this isn't much of a homecoming after 6 years. Maybe I'd better introduce myself. The name is Theodore Van Norton, remember?
Oh, there must be some mistake.
Why, Helen. Helen, darling, you're joking, aren't you?
Who are you?
Well, I've already told you I'm your brother, Ted.
You're not my brother. You're an imposter.
With the prologue of Stranger in the House, the Signal Oil Company brings you another curious tale by The Whistler. This Labor Day weekend, was part of your driving fun spoiled by the way other cars left you behind on the getaway or climbed ahead of you on hills? Well, don't give up. Cheer up. There's probably lots of pep and performance left in your motor that you're not getting out of it. That's why tonight, for the benefit of you drivers who may not yet have tried Signal's great new gasoline, I want to pass along the good news about this new super fuel that's engineered especially to put the fun back into driving. You see, science actually rearranged the atoms in gasoline molecules to put amazing power into new Signal gasoline. Power that gives you quicker starting, faster pickup, and quieter, higher anti-knock. But even that's only half the story. For in new Signal, there's an extra bonus of extra mileage. Well, after all, it stands to reason that some power that helps your motor perform so much more efficiently also helps you go farther than ever with new Signal gasoline. And that's why Signal says, look to your speedometer for the best proof of gasoline quality. It takes extra quality to go farther. And Signal is the famous go farther gasoline. And now, back to the Whistler.
Well, Helen, all you can do is stand there in the stateroom and stare at him. The effrontery of this stranger trying to pass himself off as your brother leaves you at a loss for something to say. He doesn't remotely resemble Ted. He's tall with a clean-cut athletic look to him. Ted was short and stocky. Perhaps he thinks it's funny, Helen. Perhaps he's one of those people with a perverted sense of humor, a practical joker. Yes, it's hilarious, isn't it? To pull a trick like this after 6 years of almost unbearable suspense.
Well, darling, have we better get a move on?
Are you stupid enough to think you can get away with this?
Get away with what?
If this is some crude attempt at humor.
Not at all. I'm quite serious.
Where's my brother?
Now, look, do you have to be that way? I explained once.
Don't lie to me. Where is he?
Excuse me a moment. Oh, Stuart.
Yes, Mr. Van Orton?
Would you take care of my hand baggage, please?
Yes, sir, right away.
Thanks. Come on, Helen. Let's go down to the dock.
I'll call the purser. I'll have
you... Wait a minute. Now, look. Here's the passport with fingerprints and photograph. Birth certificate, State Department credentials. Letters from you.
They're forgeries.
I'm sorry. They're genuine.
You're not going home with me. I won't stand for it.
Very well, darling. I'll check in at a hotel for the time being. But after all, you can't keep a guy out of his own home now, can you?
George, I've never been so stunned in my life. He just stood there, smiling at me, saying over and over that he was Ted.
You say he had identification, huh?
Oh, everything, everything, even letters from me. I wrote them when Ted first arrived in Manila.
Genuine?
I think so.
Well, they must be. He'd know better than to try to get by with forgeries. Helen, you're sure you're right?
George, you don't think I know my own brother?
Well, it's been 6 years. He's probably been in a prison camp. Can make a lot of difference in a man's appearance.
But Ted's dead.
Huh?
Or he would have written. Something terrible's happened, I'm sure of it. This man might have killed him. Yes, that's it. So he could get his hand on Ted's half of the estate.
Oh, that's a pretty serious charge, Helen. Have to be sure of yourself. Remember, you're the only one in Seattle who can recognize him now. He left here over 15 years ago. Do you have any pictures?
No, I thought of that. No, there aren't any. Not since he was a little boy. He spent most of his time in the East with Aunt Ida.
Oh? Where is she?
She died some time ago.
Well, there are a lot of ways we can check on him. State Department ought to know about him. He's been with them for over 10 years. You say he's stopping at a hotel?
Yes.
You know, of course, Helen, that if he can prove his identity, he has a legal right to live here in this house.
I tell you, he's a flagrant imposter. He's not coming here. If I have to hire someone to throw him out. Who is it?
It's Rhoda, miss.
What time is it?
After 8.
Oh, go away. I'm sleepy.
I must see you, miss.
All right, Rhoda. Come in. What is it?
It's Mr. Van Norton.
What? Where is he?
He's in the bathroom, miss. Shaving.
Sweet mystery.
Oh, Lolly, unmitigated. Just wait. The nerve of
him. I know. Well, good morning, good morning.
What do you think you're doing?
Shaving. Morning ablutions. I can't say I'm used to having ladies barge into the bathroom when I...
Get out of here!
Temper.
How did you get in?
Well, I couldn't get a room at a hotel, so I took a taxi up last night, walked in a back door. Was open, you see.
Well, you can leave the same way you came in.
No. I'm here to stay, sister dear. I've got the proof in my pocket. And if you want to get me out, you can trot right down to the Hall of Justice and get yourself a court order. More coffee, Helen?
No, thanks.
Hotcakes, huh?
Mr. Whoever you are.
The name is Van Norton. Theodore Van Norton.
I must say, I've never seen such colossal nerve in my life.
You flatter me.
You're not at all concerned about the servants.
Why, should I be?
Aren't you afraid they'll recognize you?
Oh, don't be silly. None of them were here when I left home. 15 years ago, Edward the butler was the last to go, I think. When was it? 38, that was it, wasn't it? Oh, by the way, Helen, whatever became of old Edward?
There are other people in town, you know. What about your teachers at Washington Heights School?
Why, Helen, you know, I believe you're trying to trick me. You know, Father sent me to Fox Hall Academy when I was 14. I never went to Washington Heights. Where are you going?
You seem to know everything. Why don't you tell me that?
Helen, we have some talking to do, darling, about the will. Father's estate, you know. Seems to me the executor owes me close to $1 million.
You knew it was coming, didn't you, Helen? That's the purpose behind the whole crazy business. It's still inconceivable to you that the man can actually expect to get away with it. George was right. There are 1,000 ways you can check up on him. And the imposter himself just gave you an excellent one. You make a long-distance call to the Foxhall Academy and talk to Mr. Rigby, the headmaster.
Why, yes, of course, Miss Van Norton. I'd be delighted to come down tomorrow afternoon. Ted was always one of my favorites, you know. Any special time?
What about 2:00?
Fine. It'll be quite a reunion, won't it?
Yes, indeed, Mr. Rigby. Quite a reunion. Mr. Rigby, this is George Chadwick, my lawyer.
How do you do?
Hi.
Would you like to wait in the living room, Mr. Rigby? I think Ted is out on the tennis court. We'll call him.
Thank you.
Come on, George. Excuse us, Mr. Rigby.
Of course.
Do you still think I don't know my own brother?
I never said that, Helen. I only said 6 years can make a lot of a difference.
Oh, I'm afraid Mr. What's-his-name is going to suffer a little embarrassment.
You think Rigby will recognize him?
Of course. He'll recognize him as an imposter. He knows Ted as well as I do. What's the matter?
I don't know. I checked those documents of his this morning and...
Will you stop talking nonsense, George? I tell you they're stolen. Heaven knows what happened to Ted or how this crook got a hold of his papers.
All right, Ellen, all right. You better go and call him.
Hello, sis.
What's up?
I was sorry to interrupt your tennis game, Ted.
Oh, it's Ted now, huh?
Why, of course. I could have been mistaken, you know.
Well, I can't say I expected this.
I'd be a little foolish not to admit it when I'm wrong, wouldn't I? Come on, dear.
Where to?
Just to the living room. You can go back to your tennis in a moment. Oh, there you are, George.
Hello, Ted.
Hello, George. What's going on around here?
We're going into the living room, George. Perhaps you'd like to join us.
Oh, of course.
Well, open the door, George.
Huh? Oh, sorry.
Say, what is all this? I don't...
Rigby!
Ted! Teddy, old boy, how have you been?
What, you old son of a gun? Hey, what is this, Helen? A surprise? Why don't you tip a guy off when his old headmaster comes to see him?
Oh, you're looking fine, Teddy.
Yeah?
Good Lord, it's been 15 years.
Oh, sure.
Last time I saw you was after the Washburn game, remember?
Yeah, that was it at Spokane. Yes. Stinky was there, too. Yes. Say, do you remember when the bus broke down that night outside of Wenatchee? And you and I had a hit.
You stand there stunned, speechless, just staring at them as they slap each other on the back, forgetting all about you. And George avoids looking at you. He's on their side now, you're sure of it. And worst of all, it's beginning to get you, too. He's not your brother, you know it, you're positive. It's ridiculous to go through all this rigmarole, but it seems to be your word against his proof, doesn't it? But there are still other ways, aren't there? Like another long-distance call. This time to the State Department in Washington, D.C. After being transferred to four or five different offices, you finally get through to the right man.
That you check this matter thoroughly. I'm positive that the man representing himself as my brother is an imposter.
You say you were with Mr. Van Norton when he filed his original application here in 1936?
Yes, I saw him attach his photograph and fix his fingerprints. I simply want to see that application.
I'll forward the file to our Seattle representative and you can check it there. That be satisfactory?
Quite satisfactory. Thank you.
I see. You say the file was forwarded here from Washington.
That's right. I simply want to examine it, particularly the photograph.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me a moment, Miss Van Norton. I'll have to look it up.
Well, George?
Well, what?
I can't say I'm pleased with your lack of confidence in me.
Well, who said anything about that?
Oh, it's quite clear enough.
Helen, I'm a lawyer. I'll believe black is white if they throw enough evidence at me. Mr. Rigby was a very convincing witness.
He's a decrepit old fool, and it had been 15 years.
I thought he was an intelligent man.
I could have passed you off as my brother. He'd forgotten what Ted looks like.
And does that explain why Ted recognized him?
Oh.
I don't know, Helen. Seems to me you're arguing against yourself when you say Rigby might have forgotten what he looks like.
What do you mean?
You might have forgotten yourself. After all, it's been 6 years, you know. A man can change.
Don't be ridiculous. I know my own brother as well as I know
Shh.
The...
Here comes the clerk.
Here we are. Theodore H. Van Norton. Now, what did you wish to see?
Oh, let me see it. Medical examination, education record, application. Where's the picture?
On the other side.
Oh, here.
Satisfied, Helen?
It can't be. I saw Ted paste his picture on myself.
Something wrong?
Of course there's something wrong. This isn't my brother. It's that man.
Helen, get a hold of yourself.
What? Let me see. Yes, here they are. Fingerprints. Listen, clerk. I want this whole record sent to the office of the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Helen, you need a rest. Things getting you.
That's one thing that can't be forged, don't you see? They can't forge his fingerprints.
I'm sorry, Miss Van Norton, but I have no authority.
You've got to. I tell you, there's a stranger in my house posing as my brother. There's $1 million involved.
Just a minute, Helen. Now, it's most important, Mr. Robbins, not only because of the money involved. You see, Miss Van Norton is extremely upset.
Of course, Mr. Chadwick. But you see, I can't simply turn over material like this.
I'll make the necessary arrangements with the FBI, Mr. Robbins, and get authority from Washington. Will that be satisfactory?
Quite, Mr. Chadwick. Quite.
Hey,
Hello, Ted.
Oh, hello, Helen. I began to wonder where you were all afternoon.
Oh, downtown shopping. Oh, the stores are frightful these days.
Yeah, indeed they are.
Reading?
Yeah.
How's Dick Tracy?
I don't know. I haven't checked him today.
Funny. You used to read Dick Tracy before you even looked at the headlines.
I guess a guy gets a little serious after 6 years overseas. In a prison camp most of the time.
Yes. I suppose so.
Hey, you're looking calmer today. Did you finally decide I'm kosher?
I want you to forgive me, Ted. It's so unbelievable that I don't quite trust my senses anymore.
Sure, you're a good kid, Helen. I don't blame you.
Will you drink on it?
Why not?
What'll it be?
Bourbon and soda?
Oh, you're a man after my own heart.
You know, I'm kind of surprised. I thought you'd be a tougher nut to crack.
Oh, you expected me to be suspicious.
Well, after that episode on the boat, I expected anything.
Oh. Here you are.
Thanks.
What'll we drink to?
To us, of course.
All right. To us.
Yes, ma'am?
You're in charge of the fingerprinting department here?
Yes.
I'm Helen Van Norton. I brought in a highball glass yesterday afternoon with some fingerprints on it.
Oh, yes. That's the one you wanted us to check against the prints in the State Department application file. Where did you get that glass?
A man is posing as my brother, staying at my house. They're his fingerprints.
You're sure of the prints on the application?
What do you mean?
Are you sure they're the bona fide prints of your brother?
Of course. I was with him in Washington when he completed the application. I saw him put the prints on it.
I see. Well, that ought to settle it for you once and for all.
What do you mean?
The man at your house is your brother, Miss Van Norton. The prints are identical.
I can't be. It can't...
We wouldn't commit ourselves if we weren't positive.
I see. Yes, of course. Thank you.
Well, Helen, that settles it, doesn't it? You're beaten and you know it. But you still have one more out, just one. It's a desperate chance, but you've decided you have to take it. To determine once and for all whether or not this man is your brother. Whether you can trust your own mind. It's very late that night when you get quietly out of bed and walk downstairs to the telephone. The house is as quiet as a tomb. Everyone's asleep.
I want to call Honolulu, operator. Mr. Amato Tsubishi, 28 Kalua Drive, Honolulu.
Will you wait?
Yes, I'll wait.
Here is your party. Go ahead, please.
Hello.
Hello.
Is this Mr. Tsubishi?
Who is calling, please?
I last talked to you in April 1941. The name I gave you was Grayson. Do you remember that?
Why are you calling?
Do you remember me?
Of course I remember you.
I sent you $50,000 to...
To take care of Mr. Van Norton. He was in Manila.
You did take care of him. He's dead.
He was killed in an accident in May of 1941.
You're positive.
Positive?
Thank you, Mr. Tsubishi. Thank you very much.
Whistler will return in just a moment with the strange ending to tonight's story. Hear that? If you're a driver, that's a signal you should know. The trainman's warning signal that engineers start to blow a quarter mile before a crossing. And another signal it'll pay you to recognize is the big circle sign with yellow letters on a black background spelling out the word signal gasoline. The sign that identifies friendly, dealer-owned signal service stations from Canada to Mexico. Wherever you see that sign, there you'll find not only top-quality signal products, but also more thorough, more conscientious service, because your signal dealer, being in business for himself, naturally has more incentive to do those little extra things that will keep your car and you happy. Well, add it up. That's just about today's best recipe for longer car life. No wonder Signal Oil Company has grown so, from a mere handful of stations in Southern California to an organization now serving 7 western states from Canada to Mexico. And no wonder more and more wise drivers are letting Signal's yellow and black circle sign be their signal for the surer protection cars need today to help them run better and last longer. And now back to the Whistler.
It was a relief to know, wasn't it, Helen? You can trust your own senses now. Ted is dead, and the stranger in the house is an imposter. Somehow, some way, you can prove it. And the $50,000 you paid Mr. Tsubishi back in the spring of 1941 is still a good investment. Because Ted's $1 million, half of the estate will be yours. All of it. You don't want to think about it anymore. It's been too bewildering. All you want now is your bed and the first good night's sleep in a week. You put down the phone and start toward the stairs.
Sit down, Helen.
How long have you been here?
Long enough. I said sit down.
I'm going upstairs.
Sit down before you fall down. That's better. You just hung yourself, baby. There's a record of that phone conversation down at FBI headquarters.
What are you talking about?
You didn't have Honolulu, just in case you're wondering. You were talking to the boys down at the office. We had everything, you see, except the link you just gave us. We knew Tsubishi paid $40,000 to one of his boys in Manila, the guy who killed your brother. But we didn't know who hired Tsubishi.
What made you suspect me?
I didn't at first. I knew Ted had a sister. I knew there were a couple of $1 million in it somewhere. And I had 3.5 years in a prison camp to think it over. A guy can do a lot of deductive thinking in 3.5 years.
So you looked up Tsubishi?
Yeah. He was dead. Knocked over by a truck the morning of Pearl Harbor. No, we had nothing but suspicion. Tough, isn't it, huh? You could have been a nice kid if you weren't a killer at heart. Yeah, it took us a long time to work it out. A lot of planning, a lot of names, a lot of people to run down. But when we got going, we knew you'd crack sooner or later.
Who are you?
Your brother's best friend.
And you did it because you were his friend?
Partly.
Partly?
Yeah. My name is McKay, FBI. And incidentally, this time I'm telling you the truth.
Monday at 9 o'clock, the Whistler will bring you another strange tale. The Whistler is broadcast for your entertainment by the marketers of Signal gasoline and motor oil and fine quality automotive accessories and by your neighborhood Signal dealer. Featured in tonight's program were Virginia Gregg and Gerald Moore. This program produced by George W. Allen with tonight's story by Harold Swanton and Mark Smith, music by Wilbur Hatch, is transmitted to our troops overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. Whistle is your signal for the Signal Oil program, The Whistler. This is Marvin Miller speaking, reminding you to look for those familiar yellow and black circle signs that identify those popular Signal Oil stations throughout the West from Canada to Mexico. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Thanks for listening with me through another Whistler doubleheader here on the Whistler Radio Channel. Don't forget, you can also catch more classic stories on the Whistler podcast with your host, Mel, where I introduce the cast of characters, share insights and bios on the actors and writers, and explore what was happening in the world when each episode first aired. Until next time, friends, keep your past well documented and your secrets to a minimum.